Off the ball.
Rugby.
With Loughman and the two young wingers, and then you got Stuart McCluskey. These guys have sort of said, I've dreamt about this. I've always wanted to play at Twickenham. I don't know if I'm going to get another chance, but I'm taking it. I am not letting this day go. I'm grabbing this mongrel by the throat.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball. This is News Talk.
Hey, very good evening to you. Welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. It's Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. Coming up, we're going to bring you an interview from 7:30 with FAI CEO David Carell. I was speaking to him down at the Aviva Stadium earlier today, so we discussed the Israel situation. The game is going to go ahead at the Aviva Stadium on the 4th of October this year. We will discuss the reaction to the situation at Oriel Park last Friday night as well. So plenty to come on that interview from 7:30. Also this hour, before we go to 8 o'clock news, we'll be speaking to Charlie McConnellogue, Minister of State for Sport, about how his department has responded to the aforementioned situation at Oriel last week. From 8 o'clock then, we've got a Wednesday night rugby with Chris Jones of the BBC. He's going to give the sort of half-term report on all Six Nations in the competition. Before 9 o'clock, we'll be chatting to Chris McDermott and Neil Howie of the Irish Amputee Football Team. That's part of our latest Settle In episode. And then between 9 and 10, the football show featuring Richie Towell here in studio. There's going to be plenty of Champions League to talk about, including the game we're currently watching in Bergamo, where Atalanta have well and truly wiped out the advantage of Dortmund going into this game. So Borussia Dortmund came to Bergamo 2-0 up, and as we speak here, we're just watching replays of Atalanta going 3-0 up on the night here. So they're 3-2 up on aggregate, and very much ball in their court at the moment in terms of progressing for the last 16. Our number is 0879 180 180. If you want to drop us a WhatsApp message, Cameron Hill has had a busy day on the sports desk. How are you, Cameron?
You know that meme of Captain, it's Wednesday? I've never felt that more strongly and pronounced than today.
I did intro yesterday's show by saying welcome to Wednesday's Off the Ball, so there were early signs that it's happening in the week. Ben Sines is here as well. Hello, Ben.
Owen, how are you?
Very well. You've been a busy man as well. You've been out doing some preview content for the Dublin Derby, which of course we're going to have live here on News Talk on Friday at Dalyman Park. So you were out with Bose earlier today.
Yeah, it was at the Oscar Trainer Centre where Bose train, just in between Santry and Coolock, speaking to Aaron Reynolds and Dara Power ahead of the big game on Friday.
Can you give us any nuggets?
Yeah, there's a few nice tactics being shown to us.
Oh yeah?
Journalists. Now, Aaron Reynolds was keen to stress these are not the tactics for Friday.
Yeah.
But he did tell us that he thinks Rovers are going to play long ball.
Okay, Friday, right.
And they're going to switch from the norm. So, yeah, a few things. If you were keen enough to notice the tactics board, yeah, as he was keen to stress it to us.
Have you not seen my beautiful new whiteboard in the corner of the room, gents? Don't, of course, don't look at what I've written on it. Well, we wouldn't want that message to be getting out there to our opponents or anything like that. He's double bluffing you, Ben, and he's seen right through you, I think.
Or it's, you know, when you're watching a game on a stream and you've seen that the goal's gone in, but your mates don't. So you're kind of, oh, look at this. Pretending that you've seen well in advance that this goal is actually about to happen because you've just seen it develop on the pitch and you seem very erudite and cogent. That's what you should be doing. You should be like, look, you know, anyone could have seen this coming from Rovers at the weekend. You shouldn't have given away the game so easily is my point.
Give us your kind of early week sense of how this is going to go on Friday night. I presume Bulls are pretty confident given their early season form.
Very confident. And I speak to Dara Power as well, new right back who came in. Another Waterford man. He's from Kilmacthomas.
They're taking over, Bowes.
Yeah, so only about 20 minutes down the road from Alan Reynolds, Tremor. Very confident, okay, is the answer. Now, to be fair, not just based on this season. Last season, Bowes won 3 of the 4 Dublin derbies in the league. They won both games at home. I didn't realise, I knew this would be the second last Dublin derby at the current Dalyman Park. I didn't realise it's going to be the last one on a Friday. It's on a Monday, the next time they play each other. So you can expect that atmosphere is going to be rocking on Friday night. And Reynolds was keen to stress that, look, he said to the players all season, you need to leave a mark at all games at Dalyman Park this season. It's obviously going to be their first because they gave up their first home game this season to play at the Aviva Stadium. I mean, what an entrance to have your first home game of the season in your biggest derby against your biggest rival. They're going to be very, very confident going into it, and probably rightly so.
We'll have more on this with Richie Towell, who knows a thing or two about the Dublin derby between 9 and 10 on the football show. But the other, I was going to say the other big piece of League of Ireland news, we'll get to the other big piece of League of Ireland news soon because there's a few of them, is St. Pat's releasing a brand new jersey, dropping their Wolftones heritage onto the front of their jersey.
Are they the new Bose? No Europe and releasing kits with musicians on the front? Mm. Yeah. You know what? Quite a good video this morning of a woman walking down towards Slats in Inchcore, singing a few Wolftones songs away. She enters the pub. Wolftones are sitting there playing a few tunes in the brand new St. Pat's Athletic kit, which I have to say is a cracking kit. If they were tempted to do a a gimmicky style kit with a band on the front. They have done this well.
Yeah. So the wolf tones, for people who aren't aware, are intrinsically linked with St. Patrick's Athletic.
They are, yeah. You'll often find them playing in McDowell's, which is next door, or was next door to Richmond Park. They're from the area as well. I think they're from Bluebell, which is just around the corner. A lot of people would know that Bluebell Football Club played St. Pat's in the FAI Cup a few years ago. It was a severe local derby and the first rounds of the Cup. But yeah, intrinsically linked to the club. So maybe that's their backbone for choosing Wolftones rather than going for a band that maybe aren't from the area that Bows do.
When are Sligo Rovers going to drop their Westlife kit? This is ridiculous.
It's like there's going to be no prize for guessing what's going to be the best-selling St. Pat's kit of recent years. The only shock that I have about these kits coming out is that more clubs haven't actually done this. They might have actually missed the boat on this. If they'd got there before the real peak of the Wolftones renaissance a couple of seasons ago, they would have absolutely flown off the shelf and made a lot more money for themselves. But never too late to do such a thing.
Well, the Wolftones aren't dead yet, though. They're coming back with another farewell tour.
That is true.
This year, so maybe they're getting on it just before the second farewell tour.
Yeah.
Is that what we're calling this?
What are we up to now in terms of clubs who've literally put musical artists on the front of their League of Ireland jerseys?
It's all Bows so far.
This is the first one that's not Bows. Am I correct in saying that? This is the first that's not Bows?
The first kit that's not Bows.
Okay, fair enough.
So.
Yeah, there's been a few collaborations. Obviously, Dundalk had their collaboration with Reggie, which obviously my voice was on their promo video for that slagging Dundalk off, and I inspired that video.
I must say as well, I was up at the Loud Derby last Friday night. They had a lovely TIFO at the front with the exact words that were in that that promo. They talk, they always talk. The town remains. So you live on.
Maybe you'll be on the front of the Dundalk kit.
Yeah, maybe. I just want to say thanks to one of my friends for taking over that story last Friday night and making a bigger story in Oriel Park for me. I think that might be one of the stories in this evening's news round, Cameron. As I say, plenty coming in from David Carell at the Aviva Stadium and indeed from government buildings. So busy hour this hour. We're going to be hearing from Carell. We're going to be hearing from Charlie McConnell Logue as well. But what are you leading with on this front?
It's the FAI chief executive we'll talk about first, because he's confirmed that the Republic of Ireland will host Israel at the Aviva Stadium for their Men's Nations League clash on October 4th. Lansdowne Road's been confirmed as the venue for their League B3 encounter, despite calls from figures within Irish football to boycott the games. Speaking to Off the Ball, Carell revealed the association made the decision through the prism of what's right for Irish football. Now, you would have heard this in the news just before we came on air, but the PFAI have published results of a survey of 214 players from across the League of Ireland. 63% feel that the Republic of Ireland should not fulfil the fixtures against Israel. 66% say that they would not attend the home leg at the Aviva Stadium, with within that 79% of those citing moral reasons for their stance.
Yeah, this is the next step of this now. This is confirmed. It's a fixture that's going to happen. How will the fans react? Will people show up? Will there be large-scale protests outside the ground? Probably is the answer to that second question. And what's the nature of that? Like, the legal advice on playing Israel is one of the things that David Carell has cited in his media dealings. Today, the next question now is actually the safety and everything that goes around this fixture as well. But the Israel football team will be playing in Dublin later this year. Text in here from one listener. If the fans refuse to buy tickets for the Israel games, I'm sure the players will understand. You can keep your comments coming in. 087-9180-180. Where are you going next, Cameron?
Well, the Taoiseach says that funding for the League of Ireland should be restored because other clubs shouldn't be penalised for one incident. Now, that follows a pause in AstroTurf investment after a flare damaged the pitch at Dundalk's Oriel Park and left a 12-year-old boy injured. The decision from Sports Minister Patrick O'Donovan has drawn criticism from members of the opposition, as well as from Junior Sports Minister Charlie McConnell Logue. And Taoiseach Micheál Martin says those responsible for the flare should be brought to justice.
What happened in terms of the AstroTurf incident was appalling, has to be condemned, and you know, those responsible should be obviously identified, brought to justice in a proper way. However, my own view is that the funding now should be, you know, I think there was meetings today. I would anticipate out of those meetings that funding will be restored, that the other clubs should not be penalised for what happened. Obviously, people have to be very rigorous and focused in protecting their facilities, and this type of behaviour has to be stamped out. There's no question about that, and clubs have responsibilities in that regard. But those who are operating well in my view, shouldn't be punished.
Okay, as I say, loads more to come on those two stories between now and 8 p.m. So let's move on to give ourselves a few minutes to get through the rest of the day's news. Champions League next, Cameron.
Well, UEFA have thrown out Benfica's appeal against the provisional suspension of Gianluca Cristiani, meaning he definitely won't face Real Madrid tonight in the Champions League. He's been banned for at least one game while an investigation is carried out into claims he racially abused Real forward Vinicius Jr. in last week's first leg in Lisbon. Real will take a 1-0 lead into tonight's match at the Bernabeu. Elsewhere, Juventus will bid to overturn a 5-2 deficit when they host Galatasaray. PSG hold a 3-2 advantage over Monaco ahead of their meeting in Paris. Those games all kick off at 8 o'clock. Right now, as you've mentioned, Owen, Atalanta are 3-0 up on Dortmund in Bergamo, meaning they lead that tie 3-2 on aggregate.
I'm looking at the Dortmund team here and I'm noticing Fabio Silva coming off the bench, the ex-man that Wolves bought for 40 million when he was a teenager, a club record free at the time of Porto. Remember, he went to Rangers for a little while and now he's ended up as Dortmund's number nine.
What's he been at for the last couple of years?
He went to Rangers. He had a spell at Rangers and I don't think he was too prolific up there either. So unless he's doing some fantastic work in the Bundesliga and I'm just not clearly tuned in to my Derek Ray fixtures every week.
So he scored 4 goals in 18 appearances for Rangers on loan from Wolves and then went to Las Palmas on loan and scored 10 in 24 games. So his strike rate has improved a little bit, but he's 23 years of age at this point. Definitely one of the more random ones that has popped up in a Champions League. I had completely forgotten that he existed. I think somebody described him as looking like a guitarist from The Strokes when he first arrived at Wolves, and he kind of does fit that look. He's still rocking the same hairstyle. What have you got next?
Well, Katie Taylor has revealed that she will retire this year after one last bout in Dublin. The legendary world champion boxer from Bray has confirmed the fight will be this summer, but the date and her opponent are yet to be announced. Now, Taylor's reiterated her desire to bring the curtain down on her career with a fight at Croke Park. She believes there are other options on the table, but stresses that GAA HQ is her preference.
We are still pushing home for Croke Park, and that will be the ice on the cake for me. To end my career there, it will be just so special to end my career in Ireland's most iconic arena. I'm not sure if it's going to happen, but that's what we're pushing for. If it doesn't happen there, obviously we can look at other options like the Aviv or the Three Arena as well. So there's definitely plenty of options there, but the top of my list is definitely Croke Park. We've had some tough conversations over the last few years. We tried to push for it before, and it just never happened. And but I'm not going to give up hope. I'm just going to still push for it, and me and my team are working very, very hard to get that to fight my dreams, basically, in our most iconic arena. So we'll see what happens over these next few weeks and months.
She's up the ante here a little bit, throwing out the word retirement. Now we all know that it will be her last fight, and there's a great aspect of sentimentality that's going to be attached to what she said today. We've heard from Patrick O'Donovan within the last month or two talking about the fact that the Irish government cannot be held up as, you know, the reasons why this can't happen or will happen. It's up to the individual sporting bodies and up to Croke Park to ensure that this happens if it possibly can. But still, I think if there's going to be any sort of appetite from the government here, they should probably pursue that to try and make this thing happen, because I think it'll leave a brilliant legacy on their own government and what the sporting impact would be in this country, because I just don't see it happening otherwise. There's been so many stumbling blocks. I think the Eddie Hearn comments that we've seen for a number of years at this point would suggest that there just isn't going to be a deal that's brokered between themselves and Croke Park to ensure this happens. So who's going to break first? Who's going to blink first is the key question.
Do you want to hear the maddest thing that Croke Park has ever staged that isn't a Gaelic Games match? So I was going through this today.
Westlife?
Not Westlife. Close. But back in 1924, two events. So the White Sox, the Chicago White Sox, played the New York Yankees in an exhibition game that was so disastrous that the baseball authorities basically cancelled the rest of the Ireland tour they were meant to go on and just went to London instead. They were doing kind of a world tour. And then, that's not the maddest one. So in 1924, that same year, Tex Austin's International Rodeo came to Drumcondra. According to historian Turtle Bunbury, fantastic name, thousands flocked to see stars like Noatta Slim Richardson, Ruth Roach, and Tom Kiernan perform in a fierce feast of steer wrestling, bronc riding, trick riding, and pony express races. So, I mean, you know, there's precedent there. I don't think Katie Taylor's fight against whoever, maybe it's Ronda Rousey in the end, that still wouldn't be the maddest thing that we've seen on the Jones Road.
Yeah, I'm sure it was Peter McKenna And Tom Ryan running the show back then as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was up to them, and their kind of double standards on what has led into Croke Park. It needs a serious examination. What do you reckon about this? In terms of your own cynicism, optimism about this? It's also telling that she has thrown in the Aviva Stadium in her answer there as well as a realistic prospect.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say. She very clearly references right after saying how great to be to fight at Croke Park. She does have the Aviva Stadium there. And we know she's fought at 3-0 arena before. I think that little caveat of the Aviva Stadium is maybe, you know, saying, look, this is my last chance to put pressure on you. If you don't do this, I'll be fighting in the Aviva Stadium instead. I mean, if Croke Park can hold a rodeo, why can't it hold our greatest ever sports person? You know, that is probably the argument that I would take from this conversation here.
Mm. Yeah. The final rodeo of Katie Taylor, the headlines do sort of write themselves if it all comes full circle. You've got rugby for us next.
Well, Carlos Spencer has departed his role as head coach of Terenure College just 6 months into a 3-year deal at Lakelands. The AIL club confirmed today that the New Zealand legend is returning home for personal reasons. Now, according to the Irish Times, Spencer had returned home over Christmas to spend time with his family. His wife, Jodine, and son, Peyton, had visited Dublin last October. Terenure are currently a place and a point outside of the playoffs in Division 1A of the All-Ireland League.
Okay, you're turning to international rugby next.
Well, Wales are set to beat out Tane Plumtree for next week's Six Nations match against Ireland. He's been ruled out of that trip to Dublin with a shoulder injury, which he picked up in Wales' loss to Scotland. Fly half Sam Costello is also facing a race to be fit as he looks to recover from an ankle issue, while England scrum half Alex Mitchell will miss the rest of the Six Nations with a hamstring problem, while Ollie Lawrence is a doubt for the next match against Italy due to a knee issue. Ireland's opening game in the Women's Six Nations away to England is set to break the tournament's attendance record. The Times of London reporting that 60,000 tickets have reportedly been sold for that Twickenham clash on the 11th of April. The record currently stands at around 58,500 for the Grand Slam decider between England and France at the same ground back in 2023.
A couple of texts in on the jersey question. Cork City jersey last season was inspired by the Frank and Walters, says one jersey, and another person, says one texter even, and another listener getting in touch to suggest that the Galway United should release a brand new Saw Doctor's kit next year, which would be pretty good. So the Cork City one in question is the Zeus orange, vibrant orange jersey that they released last season.
Do Finn Harps or Cork City have rights to Rory Gallagher?
I would say Finn Harps, quite possibly.
He's Ballyshannon, but
he already has a statue in Cork City.
See, that's
Cork City statue. Yeah.
So maybe there's a derby there in the first division this year. Who gets the rights will depend on who wins that head to head.
Yeah, Borussia Dortmund has just scored here, so they brought it back to 3-3 then.
Yeah, Karim Adeyemi, who is a striker who I'm a little bit more familiar with his good work on the pitch than Silva. Brilliant curling effort into the top corner. We've been just blessed with a couple of Champions League games over the last 2 days for what is essentially a bonus round. Are we calling this knockout round a bonus round? That we didn't have before with the 8 games at group stage. This looks like it might head to extra time if it stays this way. And then we still have the 8 o'clock to come after. PSG versus Monaco is set up brilliantly as well. I know obviously it's going back to Paris, so it might be a little bit of a different story than last week in Monaco. Some absolutely brilliant ties, not to mention seeing an Irish person compete in the knockouts of the Champions League as well with Alex Murphy last night for Newcastle.
There already is a Rory Gallagher jersey, so this is it's not a soccer jersey though.
Oh.
It's a GAA jersey, so Ballyshannon's Eirua senior hurling team. They had a Rory Gallagher festival, Ballyshannon Ireland, big crest plonked on the front of their jersey, so it's more the festival more so than just the man that was on that jersey. So
that
it's been
count.
Done in a different code. So
doesn't count.
The door is still ajar for Cork City and for Finn Harps. Dermot Keenan's been in touch on YouTube to say, will the powers that be not price the average person out of getting to see Katie fight in Ireland? A dynamic pricing like the Oasis against, I would suggest that's going to go the opposite way, actually. They'll try and fill up the stadium and they'll need to have tickets at a fairly reasonable price in order to fill the stadium up, particularly if it's Croke Park. Now, the fact that it is her final fight would mean that there'll just be a huge demand for tickets in a way that there wouldn't have been if it was any old Katie Taylor fight. But I still think it'll take a bit of a push to ensure that something like Croke Park does in fact sell out. So cheap tickets are going to be needed, which makes it more expensive to put on as well.
Is there a danger that fight takes place at 3 o'clock in the morning because most of the US viewers will be watching it at prime time? Is that not a big concern in this whole thing?
It didn't happen in the Tree Arena.
But it did happen with Serrano Taylor.
In the United States.
It was like 5:30 in the morning when they eventually took. But just considering how much of, I think it was 70% of the viewers for that fight were in the US. Will that not impinge on it slightly in how it's timed?
I don't think there's going to be a venue in Ireland that's going to give them a license to fight at whatever 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. And also those three Serrano fights happened stateside, so that was local time, completely acceptable local time, even though it would have been edging close to midnight.
The UFC have held events in Manchester that run until 5 a.m. before, but I can't exactly imagine the Croke Park residents giving the go-ahead for Katie Taylor to have a fight running on until the wee hours of 5 in the morning.
No, look, it also depends on the opponent here. If it's a big, high-profile American fighter, then maybe that becomes a possibility. And there's definitely precedent of this happening in boxing, but in different countries. I'd be very surprised if that was the case in Ireland. And also, who's the opponent actually going to be? That's the big question here with regards to that. So 78 minutes on the clock here between Atalanta and Dortmund. 3-1, as you mentioned, 3-all in aggregate. We could be heading for extra time. Do you have one last quick story, Cameron, before we wrap up?
Yeah, Constitution Hill will not run in the champion hurdle at next month's Cheltenham Festival. The 9-year-old made an impressive flat debut at Sutton last Friday, but after three falls in its last four races over jumps, trainer Nicky Hendrinson confirmed today that the former champion will not be part of the field.
Cameron Hill, Ben Symes, thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be chatting to David Carell of the CEO of the FAI after the break. Also this hour, we're going to be chatting to Charlie McConlogue on the ongoing situation with regards to that Israel fixture and, of course, the fallout to Oriel Park last Friday. So loads still to come. Our number is 0879 180 180. And before the break, it's time for the Cash Machine.
Off the Ball Daily.